Yeah, there we go. Amen. Enjoyed that singing. Thank you all this morning. Take your Bible and turn to Psalms 100. Psalms 100. When you find Psalms 100, put your finger in there and hold your place. And go to Romans chapter number 8. Psalms 100 and then Romans chapter number 8. I love that song. I hadn't heard it in a long time. But we have probably, everyone, in some way, shape, or form, witnessed a miracle of God. We've got Sister Ashley Hawford sitting here this morning, cured from cancer. They said she'd never be able to bear a child after that. And, of course, we know the story. She did. There sits Gracie this morning. And now another miracle, another baby is on the way. And we've seen God work miracles in people's lives. But I wonder how many of you have said, I've seen God work my own personal miracle. There's a miracle in the making just for you. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad it's not just everybody else that He's blessing and everybody else that He's helping. I'm glad God helps even me. Amen. Thank God this morning. Romans chapter number 8. If you're there, just a simple little thought this morning. Every one of us who are dad, who have been called dad, daddy, father, pop, old man, whatever the kids refer to you as, every one of us would have to admit that's probably one of the greatest honors in all the world. I'll never forget when my oldest daughter, Ashley, she's at home with a sick baby this morning, but I'll never forget when she was born, I was just a 19-year-old boy. I mean, I was a kid myself, and I'll never forget a little black nurse about that tall at Cobb Hospital. Ashley was born, and that doctor handed that baby to that nurse. They didn't clean her up. They didn't do nothing. That little nurse turned around and looked at me, and she said, "Here is your baby. You clean it up." And I'll never forget that as long as I live. And I reached out, and they handed me that little bundle of mess. I'll never forget Colin sitting there looking at that and thinking, what do I do with this? I have no idea. This is a brand new area. I don't know what to do, but I remember in my heart thinking how much I wanted to be a good daddy. How much I wanted to be a good father, and I wanted to raise my child in the right way. Every one of us have that desire, I hope. If you're a dad, you ought to have the desire to be a good one. Amen? Now, we'd have to admit readily there are some that ain't good ones. I know it's not good English, but they ain't. You ever look at some parents and wonder why God even allowed them to have children? I see people like Brother Eric and Miss Stacy Knight down in Texas who are some of the godliest people I know, and just a fine young couple, and how they've prayed for years for a child and God hadn't allowed them to have a child. And I see some of these people out in public and I'm thinking, Lord, that's not fair. They don't deserve to be parents. But then again, I'm not God and neither is you. But I'm glad He knows exactly what He's doing. But every one of us have a desire, I'm sure, to be a good dad, a good father. That ought to be our prayer every day. God, help me to be what my children need me to be. And thank to the Lord, mine are grown now, and now we're getting to enjoy the benefits of that, and we're entertaining grandbabies. I had a lady this week down in Gulf Shores, Alabama. She was, I think she was trying to score some points with me. She had my head swelled up about that big around. I was preaching, and I said something about one of my grandkids, and she come to me after the service. She said, "There is no way you're a grandfather. There's no way you're old enough to have a grandbaby." I was thinking, I know, ma'am. Looks are deceiving. I said, "No, ma'am, I don't have a grandbaby. I have five." And she argued with me and said, "There's no way you have a child that's old enough to have a child." I said, "You just heard one of them preach." Amen. So I thought that was a great compliment. Amen. But what a blessing, man, it is to have children. And then that desire in our heart to be a good dad. But do you know, Brother Charles, the very best I can do, I'm going to let them down. and I'm going to fail. My children are grown, and you might look on the outside and say, well, y'all are pretty successful parents, and we are. But I look back over the years and I can see mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake that I've made as a dad. Help me, dads. There's things that I wish I could go back and do over again. There's times in my children's life when I acted or reacted instead of acted. Somebody say amen right there. Have you ever had to apologize to your children? I remember one time we was up in Burnt Hickory at high shows playing in the creek when the kids were little, Brother Chris, and I was teaching Levi how to skip a rock across the creek. Ashley had swam across the creek and she was sitting on a limb sticking out, a big tree limb sticking out over the water, and I skipped a rock. I said, watch this, Levi, famous last word. I skipped a rock across there and it took a big hop and hit Ashley right between the eyes. So I had to deal with a crying baby and a mad mama. Every one of us have made mistakes as fathers. I've looked back at times and thought, that wasn't a good decision. I've said yes when I shouldn't have said yes. I've said no when I shouldn't have said no. I've acted in anger when I should have stopped and cooled down a little bit. Amen. The very best we do, we make mistakes. I've sat in my office time and again when couples are having marital difficulties or trouble with the children, and I've heard too many men use this as an excuse. Well, my daddy. My daddy never did this, or my daddy never did that, or my daddy mistreated me, or my daddy was a drunk, or my daddy was a mean alcoholic, or my daddy was a drug addict, or my daddy was this. And we like to blame our inadequacies and our failures on our fathers. And I guess really they are probably the best example that we have immediately in our lives. Amen. Most little boys, when they're little, they want to grow up and be just like daddy. Something to think about, isn't it? I'll never forget my preacher, Brother Earl Partain, when Brother Carl was little. Now Carl's grown and serving the Lord, but Brother Earl had been off preaching a revival meeting, and he come home and he sat down in the living room in his recliner and he took off his shoes. And he left them there and went to bed, and he got up the next morning. He went to pick up his shoes and he looked, and Carl had placed his little shoes inside his daddy's. Brother Earl said he just broke down in the living room and just wept before God and said, Lord, he wants to walk in my shoes. I wonder how many of us would be pleased if our children turned out just like us. Well, it's quiet this morning. I wonder how many of us could say, boy, I hope my son turns out just like me. I hope he walks in my steps and does the same things I've done and goes the same places I go and lives the same way I live. Truth be known, we want our children to do better than us. Amen. Yes or no? Talk to me this morning. We want our kids to do better than us. Somebody joking with me here recently, they had went down to Levi's church in Rockmart, and he's doing good. He is doing really good. And somebody made this statement to me, and they were cutting up and kidding, trying to poke at me a little bit. And they said, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if he don't outdo you. And I looked them dead in the eyeball. I said, that's what I pray every day. That's what I pray every day. Don't get the idea that I'm jealous of my son. I want my son to go far beyond anything I've ever done. Amen. That's the desire I think of every father. But I want to do away this morning, if you're saved, with our excuse of blaming our inadequacies on our dads or our father. Now, I've been fortunate. I've got two dads in heaven this morning. I've got my earthly father, who I had a great relationship with. And I've got my stepfather, who just died a little over a year ago. They're in heaven this morning. I thank God for that. But I want to do away with this excuse of, well, my daddy never said he loved me and my daddy never did this. If you're saved this morning, your excuses are gone. Because you have a brand new Father. And in Him there are no inadequacies. In Him there are no faults. As Pilate stood and judged the Lord Jesus Christ, all he could say was, I find no fault in this man. As a dad, you can examine my life and you'll find fault. I guarantee you, you don't have to look long. And we got some great dads in this room. I'm talking about model dads. I think about my son-in-law this morning, Brother Todd. Brother Todd's always been quiet and reserved and all that kind of stuff. And I'll be honest with you, when Ashley was pregnant, I thought, boy, I'm wondering what kind of daddy Todd's going to be. He's just serious and stern. And he has turned out to be the best dad. I'm talking about a great, great dad. And I'm thankful for that. Chase, my other son-in-law, is sitting here. And he's a lot like me. And when Katie was pregnant, I prayed, God, don't let him be like me. Help him to be a good daddy. And the Lord is blessed, and he's an excellent dad. But we could examine the lives of every excellent father in here this morning and find fault. But I'm glad to say in Jesus there is no fault. Romans chapter 8, I want you to look with me at verse number 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14. I know you got things to do this afternoon. I'll get you out of here as quick as I can. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14. The Bible said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now watch this. They are the what? Say it with me. Sons of God. Now I have a earthly father. But according to this verse, I now have a heavenly father. Pay attention to me and quit paying attention to somebody leaving, going to the bathroom or something. Amen. We've had so many distractions this morning. Boy, the devil's fighting in me. Amen. I have an earthly father. I had an earthly father. Still do, just in heaven. But I'm glad I have a heavenly father. For as many as are led, Brother Charles, by the Spirit of God, the Bible said they are the sons of God. In verse number 15, the Bible said, for you not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of, say the next word with me, adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, say it with me, Father. Now, I love that scripture right there. One day I was adopted into a brand new family. How many of you dads saved this morning? Say amen. Thank God we have a new father this morning. I want to look at him this morning. If we're going to model our lives as dads, we ought to model it after our new father and not our old father. And I'm not criticizing your dad by any means, but I guarantee he's got faults. I guarantee you he's ingrained in you some of his faults. Do you ever do something now that you're grown and it reminds you of your daddy? You ever do that? And you think, oh, I do that all the time. Especially like with my temper and different things like that. And it reminds me of my daddy. And I thought, man, hey, we pick up traits from our father. But I'm glad when we got born again, we got a new father. Amen? I want to look at some scripture this morning in the 103rd Psalms. A lot of times we'll preach from the 103rd Psalms and we'll preach from the first part of the chapter, which is wonderful, where we talk about the benefits of God and all that kind of thing. But I want to look at the latter part of the chapter this morning and talk about our Heavenly Father and preach to you on this thought, what a father. If there was a Father of the Year award, it'd have to go to Him. Amen. Throughout all eternity, Brother Charles, it'd have to go to Him. I want us to look at verse number 8 and 9 in Psalms 103. Verse number 8 and 9 in Psalms 103. And I want us to look at Jesus this morning as our example in being a father. The Bible said in verse number 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Watch these next three words. Slow to anger. Let me say it again. Slow to anger. And plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. I want us to notice, first of all, the slowness of our Father's anger. The slowness of our father's anger. I wonder how many of you dads would be honest this morning and say, I have a temper. Had two or three raised hands. A house, you got a lying problem too, amen? These guys sitting here this morning like, not me. I'd like to be a fly on the wall at your house when you can't find a sock. Amen. Amen. I don't know how you guys are, but I'd lose my temper over stupid stuff. It's got a lot better since I got older. It's got a lot better. I've busted windshields out of cars. Are we okay? Working on an inanimate object. You lose your temper at something that can't think, you can't, you know, a car motor. I wonder how many of you have ever went to hit the wall and found a stud. Try to hang a picture and can't find a stud. You poke 30 holes in the wall. Lose your temper and just in random, wham, oh, it's a stud. About break your hand. I'm glad our Heavenly Father is slow to anger. Amen. We better be glad our Heavenly Father is slow to anger. We lose our temper with it at inanimate objects, but a lot of times we lose our temper with our children. Right. Wonder how many of you'd be real honest and say there's been times when I wanted to kill them. Yeah. Y'all all right? It's okay to be honest. There have been times when I wanted to just grab them, choke them till their eyeballs bugged out. I've never done it, but I've thought about it. When people come to you and go, are you Levi White's dad? My next response is, why? I'm thinking, what'd he do? Amen. Man, lose your temper with your kids so quick. I've been in Walmart and want to defend children. I've also been in Walmart and wanted to kill children. Not my own, somebody else's. I got on to one lady's kid one day. I did, I couldn't help it. I was still working on this slow to anger thing. They was a kid 4 or 5 years old, big enough to walk. It was standing in the buggy. And it was shaking the buggy, going, ah, pitching a fit because it wanted something. And the mama was going, now, darling, now, baby, nah, 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 nah. Begging that kid to shut up. I'm standing there looking at something. I went, hush. The kid's eyes got that big around. And he shut up, too, amen. But I'm sure glad my Heavenly Father has been slow to anger with me. There have been days, and if I had been God, I would have killed me. How about you? There have been days, if I'd have been God, I'd have said, I'm done with you. Amen. I've seen fathers all over the world disown their children. And rarely do you see a mama disown a child, but you'll see a daddy disown a child. Amen. You go to prison, go to jail and visit some of these boys. It's always mama sitting there. Rarely do you see daddy. Yeah. Amen. I'm glad our father's slow to anger. Yeah. Amen. I'm glad I'm glad he's slow to anger. And you know what we ought to do? We ought to practice to be slow to anger. I didn't say he didn't discipline. Amen. My mother used to tell me I didn't grow up with a daddy in the house, and I never understood it till I got married and had kids of my own, that she'd say, when I calm down, I'm going to whip you. You go to your room, I'm going to whip you in a little while. That's punishment in itself. When you got to go wait on the whooping. Colin, I remember praying, I hope she forgets. How many times did we get told at church, when we get home? When we get home, I'm going to wear you out. I've done it all, Samuel. I've laid down the back seat. Put a good sleep on, fake it, snoring. Mama pick you up and tote you in the house. I'm thinking, she forgot. She never did. She always remembered. But I'm glad that sometimes she would calm down before she whooped me. Because I've whooped her, I've had her whoop me calm. But I've also had her whoop me mad. I'll take that calm whooping any day of the week. Amen. How many of you had a parent that you got whooped with whatever was close? It didn't matter. Talk to me, Roger Bush. Hot wheel track. We got tore up with a hot wheel track. Yes, sir. They ought to outlaw them things. They run all them tests on them toys to see if it's safe for children. They are still making hot wheel tracks. And I'm here to attest to you, they are not safe for children. They'll leave a whelp on your leg about that wide. And other places we won't mention. Amen. I've seen kids get a whooping with a shoe, a fly flap, or fly swatter. It's whatever. Thwack. A wooden spoon. Amen. Weapons of choice. But daddies are always a little bit different, aren't they? We want our weapon of choice to just strike fear in the heart by looking at it. Am I right about it? I was on a construction job when my kids were little, and I cut them a paddle out of a piece of 3/4-inch plywood. I still got it. It's about that big. I need to hand that thing off. But Brother Todd, I made them a paddle. They just see it, and you can see fear in their heart. There have been days when I whipped my children because I was mad. There have been days that I whipped my children because they needed it. I'm glad God don't whoop me because He's mad. I'm glad He's slow to anger. He'd have killed me a long time ago. Amen. We ought to practice as dads to try to be slow to anger. Amen. Hey, some of you's lives would be a whole lot better if you'd pray God would help you with your temper. Amen. Pray God would help you with your temper. Boy, it's quiet in here this morning. Thank God for the slowness of our Father's anger. I want you to look at verse number 10. Thank Him for the slowness of His anger, and let's take that as good advice and a good example to follow. In verse number 10, the Bible said, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Wow. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His, say it with me, mercy toward them that fear Him. I want to thank God for the Father's slowness to anger, but I want to thank God for the strength of His mercy. The strength of His mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. You ever watch on TV when a criminal will throw themselves at the mercy of the court? In other words, what they're saying is, I did it, but have mercy on me. Give me another chance. Levi, when he was little, he grew out of it, but when he was little, Levi wouldn't lie. I said he grew out of it. When Levi was little, he would not lie. And that saved that kid more whippings. Maybe he was just smart. I say, Levi, did you do that? Me did. How do you whip that? I'd say, okay. Don't do it no more, okay? Levi'd say something. I'd say, son, are you lying? Me am. Well, I was going to whoop you, but. How many times have you shown your children mercy? Did you know that your heavenly Father is no different than you are? We don't punish our kids because we enjoy it. If you enjoy whipping your kids, something wrong with you. Amen. You don't deserve them. Child services need to be called and them taken away from you. You shouldn't enjoy whipping your children. I could enjoy whooping somebody else. I'm kidding, kinda. I thought before, I'd love to whoop that kid. I remember when I was little, Mama whooping me and her crying as bad as I did. And I'd think, well, you out of your mind. Ain't nobody hit you. You just got done beating me and you're crying. I remember the first time I whipped Ashley when she was little. She probably had, you'd count on one hand, whipping she's had. But I remember the first time I whipped her. She cried like a baby, and so did Daddy. It broke my heart. We don't whip our kids because we enjoy it. I'd much rather show them mercy. Thank God for mercy. Thank God. Let's look at the verse again in verse number 10. He hath not dealt with us according to our sins. What if somebody said, I deserve this and I deserve that? Oh, you better be careful. You better be careful talking about what you deserve. I'm telling you what I deserve. I deserve hell this morning. Amen. I don't deserve to be standing here breathing God's air, but I am because of His mercy, the strength of His mercy. Somebody said, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Oh, you don't know how big the mercy of God is. Amen. The Bible said His mercy endureth forever. Have you ever wondered how long God had put up with you? Are you amazed that He still does? How many of you have been forgiven for the same sin more than once? Twice? Over and over and over? Have you ever been, you've done the same thing so many times, you got to the point where you didn't even want to ask forgiveness? Where you'd bow your head and go, I did it again. And you were amazed that He forgave you again? It's not an excuse to sin. But what it is, Levi preached down there in Alabama the other night when the Word of God came to Jonah again the second time, and he preached on the God of second chances. Well, I disagree with that. I think He's the God of many chances. There's some of you in here, if all you got was a second chance, you wouldn't be here. If all you got was a second chance, you'd be dead and in the ground somewhere. But I'm glad it's chance after chance after chance after chance. Thank God He is slow to anger. And thank God there is strength in His mercy. Let me look at verse number 12 this morning. The Bible said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. We looked at the slowness of the Father's anger and the strength of the Father's mercy, but I want you to look at the scope of the Father's forgiveness. The scope of the Father's forgiveness. He said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Did you know that north and south meet, but east and west do not? And the Bible said He put our sins as far as the east is from the west. Somebody will say amen right there. And let's talk about the scope of His forgiveness. There are things in the lives of our children that we might even say or at least think, if they did that. I can forgive my child for anything, but what if your heavenly Father was like that? There's things my son could do or my daughters could do that would break my heart. But you know what? They're still my son and my daughters. No matter what. And when I see a child that's sorry, how can I not forgive him? Are you listening? Now, forgiveness requires remorse. Would you agree? If my child's not ashamed of his sin, he don't get forgiven. If my child's not sorry for his sin, he doesn't get forgiveness. But I don't know how many times I've had one of them with their little lip quivering saying, Dad, I'm so sorry. Well, you're forgiven. Punishment's over. What about your heavenly Father? How many sins has He forgiven you of? People have come to me over and over and said, preacher, you don't realize what I've done. Oh, He's forgiven bigger sinners than you. I'm here to guarantee you this morning, He's forgiven bigger sin than you've ever committed. There's some twisted people in this world who got saved. Y'all okay? It amazes me how somebody who lived a wicked life get saved and people always talks about how what they used to be and all this. God forgot them. God forgot every one of those sins. I can't believe some of the stuff we did in church growing up, in God's house. And here we sit this morning. You know why? The scope of His forgiveness. Amen. I don't care who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. There's a song that says love covers all sin. Amen. Hey, listen. Don't you ever look your child in the face and say, I'll never forgive you. If they can't get forgiveness from their own father, where can they get it? Well, preacher, you just don't understand. No, I don't. I hadn't been where a lot of you've been. I hadn't had to deal with what a lot of you have dealt with. But I know how my Heavenly Father has forgiven me. Time and time and time and time again. Now, if I were God, and if you were God, looking at your own life, there'd be days you'd say, that's it, no more. This is the last time you come, big boy. Never again will I forgive you. But He does it over and over and over and over. We've seen the slowness of His anger, the strength of His mercy, the scope of His forgiveness. Look at verse 14 this morning, I'm done. The Bible said, for He knoweth our frame. For He knoweth our frame and remembereth that we are but dust. Or that we are dust. We saw the slowness of His anger and the strength of His mercy. The scope of His forgiveness. But I want you to notice this morning, lastly, the security of the Father's knowledge. The security of His knowledge. Here's what I'm trying to say. He knows me. He knows me. I know my son. Sometimes I can tell you what he's thinking. I know him. He's a lot like his daddy. But I don't know him like the Heavenly Father does. There's a song the kids sing, and in that song somewhere it said, He knew me, yet He loved me. The Bible said He remembereth that we are but dust. He knoweth our frame and remembereth that we are dust. He knows what we are. You say so-and-so's a dirt bag. We all are. There's 97 elements it takes to make up your body. Those same 97 elements are the same elements that it takes to make up a handful of dirt. God formed us from the dust of the ground. He knows exactly what we are. And He knows exactly what you are. There's times that with our earthly parents, we fake it. We try to be something we ain't. We try to hide our stuff. Y'all talk to me? I couldn't hide nothing from that woman right there. She knew every hiding place they was. Read all my love letters. I had a friend come over, spend a night one time, and he had a bag of pot. I'll never forget it. He said, let me hide this in your underwear drawer. I said, Lord, no. Go put it in one of my sister's drawers. She'll never look in there. Y'all all right? Am I right about it? I'm glad God knows us, but He loves us anyway. Amen. He loves us anyway. He understands. Sometimes when we mess up, we want to give up. Let me say that again. Sometimes when we mess up, we want to give up. But we need to understand that God understands us. That's why He don't kill us. Amen. How many of you raised a teenage boy? How many of you didn't kill him because you remembered when you were one? And you knew exactly what he's going through and exactly what he's dealing with. My wife would say, you need to go in there and beat him. I'd go in there and say, son, I ought to whoop you, but I've been there. I know what you're going through. Man, I'm glad he knows us. And I'm glad most of all he understands us. That doesn't excuse our sins, but he forgives us because he understands who we are and what we are. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to be that kind of father to my children. that my Heavenly Father's been to me. Let's stand to our feet this morning.